Welcome to another edition of the Health First Show. I'm your host, Dave Fuller, and today we're going to be talking about the stress of living with in-laws. We're going to be talking with the author of Reluctantly Related and Revisited. So we're going to be talking with Deanna Braun in the first half. In the second half of the show, we're going to be talking with Dr. Roger Landry about his book and The Alchemy of Aging, and we're going to be doing that. But here's Ellen with the health news.
Although aging may mean more physical problems, retirement can help people lead healthier lives, a new study from Australia suggests. Researchers found that when folks retire, they tend to increase their physical activity, sit less, and sleep more soundly. The study paints a positive picture of retirement, said lead researcher Dr. Melody Ding, a senior research fellow at the University of Sydney's School of Public Health. Retirees in the study were acquiring a healthier lifestyle. Factors that may have contributed to this include the availability of time to be physically active and removal from sedentary jobs and work-related stress. Whether or not these results would be the same in other countries isn't clear. Retirement and the health benefits of retirement could be very context-specific, she said. The study tracked about 25,000 Australians. The average age of those still working was just over 54. During slightly more than 3 years of follow-up, about 3,100 of the study participants retired. The study findings were published recently in the American Journal of Preventive Medicine. Alcohol, processed meats such as hot dog, ham, and bacon, and excess weight all may raise a person's risk of stomach cancer, a new review finds. Further, the risk seems to increase as a person drinks more alcohol or eats more processed meat or gains more weight, the review states. It was released recently by the American Institute for Cancer Research and the World Cancer Research Fund. The review concludes that in the United States, about 1 in 7 stomach cancer cases could be prevented if people did not drink more than 3 alcoholic drinks a day, did not eat processed meat, and maintained a healthy weight. That's approximately 4,000 stomach cancer cases every year. Alice Bender, head of nutrition programs at the Cancer Institute, said this is the first report to find strong evidence of these links. There are things we can do to lower our risk for cancer. There are choices we make every day that can make a difference. Children who are allergic to cow's milk may have weaker bones than kids with other food allergies, a small study suggests. Cow's milk allergy is the most common childhood food allergy in the United States, affecting up to 3% of children, the researchers said. The main treatment is elimination of cow's milk and dairy products, which are major sources of the calcium kids need to build strong bones. This new study detected low bone density in 6% of 52 children with a long-term milk allergy. Study co-author Genevieve Maillot, an associate professor at the CHU Saint-Justine Research Center at the University of Montreal, said prepubertal children with persistent cow's milk allergy have a lower bone mineral density and calcium intake compared with similarly aged children with food allergies other than cow's milk. The study findings don't show a direct cause and effect link between milk allergy and low bone density. The study was published online April 20th in the journal Pediatrics. Depressed teens who refuse antidepressants may benefit from counseling, a new study suggests. The study included more than 200 teens who were unwilling to take medication to treat their depression. The researchers found that those who tried a type of short-term talk therapy, known as cognitive behavioral therapy, were more likely to recover than those who didn't. Lead researcher Greg Clark, a depression investigator at the Kaiser Permanente Center for Health Research in Portland, Oregon, said high numbers of adolescents experience depression, as many as 10 to 15% each year, and up to 1 in 5 by age 18. Unfortunately, he added, most of these depressed teens are not treated. As few as 30% get specific depression care. In many cases, depressed teens refuse to take antidepressants, often because of side effects concerns, Clark said. Offering brief cognitive behavioral therapy as an effective alternative, he said. The report was published online April 20th in the journal Pediatrics.
Well, thanks for that, Ellen. Our first guest, Dr. Roger Landry, is the president of Masterpiece Living, a group of multidisciplinary specialists in aging who partner with communities to assist them in becoming destinations for continued growth. He was a flight surgeon for the U.S. Air Force for over 20 years and is retired and highly decorated. His book is called Live Long, Die Short, A Guide to Authentic Health and Successful Aging. Dr. Landry, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you very much. It's a pleasure.
Tell us, first of all, what, you know, made you think that you should write this book?
I was a career in the Air Force, as you had said, and I took care of pilots, and it was really about keeping them healthy and performing at their best. And when I left the Air Force, you look for a population that is the where there's the most return on investment, so to speak, the most benefits accrued. That was normally for preventive medicine young children. But a recent book had come out, Successful Aging, which talked about the research that the MacArthur Foundation did in between the mid-'80s and mid-'90s, which showed us that older adults could gain quite a bit with lifestyle changes. And since the demographic of all of our countries are changing with more and more adults, not all that long from now, every fifth person will be over 65, it was clear there was something we needed to do. And I wanted to build on that book that the MacArthur Foundation had written, because we had done studies for over 15 years and had validated that work, and it was quite spectacular. So I needed to get the word out.
When you say that that aging populations can really benefit from changes, what are you talking about?
Well, first of all, we have discovered with the MacArthur Foundation and our work that it is lifestyle that's the primary determinant in how someone ages. So, I mean, basically the choices we make every day. Mm-hmm. And so when someone, the MacArthur Foundation found this, we have found this, and all subsequent studies have found this, that to the extent we keep moving, we keep learning, especially new things, we stay engaged in life with social connection and have a purpose in life, well, that results in a much different aging experience rather than the one where we at a certain age, we begin to start to decline. And in today, because we can live longer with the technology, we can be in some sort of an impaired state and declining for decades. Mm. Whereas in public health, the title of the book is Live Long, Die Short, but the public health term is the compression of morbidity. Morbidity is when we're sick and impaired. And so with lifestyle choices that are not difficult, we have the ability to compress that time that we are sick and impaired, and therefore have a very high functioning life up until our time comes.
You know, I think that all of us who are aging, you know, are really interested in figuring out how we can limit that time when we're sick and impaired. You talked about four things. You talked about moving, learning, social, and purpose. What is the, you know, of those four factors, Dr. Landry, what is the key in here? Or are they all equal?
Well, we are finding, maybe as early as a year ago, I would have said absolutely moving is the key. We're becoming more and more sedentary societies. Some recent work done by the Mayo Clinic showed that and the title of a paper was Sitting is the New Smoking, namely that they calculated the risk of being a sedentary lifestyle, which more and more most of us have, and smoking a package of cigarettes, and it was the sedentary that was more of a risk. So that is still a significant factor, but we're also finding more and more about what social connection means and how important that is to aging in a better way. And we're discovering things about the brain that have just, when I was in medical school, I had no idea that the brain could continue to make new pathways, that it could make new cells, and that if we keep moving and therefore get blood to the brain and we challenge it by learning new things, our brain can function. It's not necessary that we have lose memory or that we get dementia. We can, in fact, have a significant say in whether we're affected with the symptoms of dementia. So I would say the brain, social connection, and moving, they're all very important. But having purpose, also now there's significant research that says to the extent that someone has purpose in their life, we see volunteers, those who volunteer their time, tend to be much happier and live longer at high levels of performance. So I guess the answer to your question is they're all important. But if I had to start somewhere, if I'm a sedentary person, I would start with moving.
Sometimes we hear of people that retire from the job and a week later or a month later or 6 months later, they're dead. Is there ways to, what's going on in those cases?
We used to see that even in I was in the military a while, and sometimes people would retire pretty young, and still be in their late 40s or early 50s, and this would be what we would see. I believe that it is really a sense of purpose and combined with a misguided expectation of what retirement would bring. So I think people go through their whole lives and, quote, suffer through their lives with saying, oh, I'll be, when I retired, it's all going to be better. And when they get there, they find that it's not the nirvana or the paradise that they thought it was. They have no meaning and purpose. They have not nurtured new skills or want new skills or are adventurous about life and seeing it as a new beginning. And I believe
I think we just had a technical issue. Dr. Landry, are you still there?
Yes, I still am here. Oh, can you hear me?
Yeah. So, you know, we're seeing, one of the things I wanted to ask you about is we're seeing, because of the economic costs of retiring, that there's a certain population of people that are working later and later into their 70s and even early 80s in some cases. Is that good for their longevity?
The short answer is yes, it is. It is particularly valuable if they enjoy their job. If they do not enjoy their job and they just see this as a sort of a prolonged enslavement, that doesn't seem to have the benefits. Those who continue to work again and love their job, that's terrific. Those who retire and see that as a launching pad for the next phase of their life, something new, they particularly do well.
You talk in your book about the alchemy of aging and, you know, how do we turn that aging process? You know, how do we turn our retirement or even as we age into our 50s, 60s, 70s and older, how do we turn that into gold, as you say?
It can be literally gold to the extent that we can still earn things. But from a metaphorical standpoint, gold meaning, you know, high levels of performance and enjoyment and high quality of life. That is a matter of, first of all, realizing that it's possible, that it's up to us, that it's up to the decisions we make, how much we move, how much we learn, how much we're connected to others, and how much we have meaning and purpose. And when we realize that, we can indeed enjoy a life that our grandparents and great-grandparents never expected and have a very vital, high-quality life, and as the book title says, live long and die short.